Life with CIDP can be tough, but the Thrive Team, a specialized squad of experts, helps people living with CIDP make more room in their lives for joy. Watch Rare, Well Done.
An all-new reality series, Rare, Well Done, offers help and hope to people across the country who live with the rare disease CIDP. Watch the latest episode now, exclusively on RareWellDone.com.
Pool days call for cookouts and lots of laundry. This Memorial Day at Lowe's, save $80 on a Charbroil Performance Series 4-burner gas grill. Now just $199. Plus, get up to 45% off select major appliances to keep dishes, clothes, and food fresh. Having fun in the sun is easy with us in your corner. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 5/27. While supplies last, selection varies by location. See associate or Lowe's.com for details.
Hey, everybody, this is a preview of today's members episode. If you want to hear the whole thing, head on over to theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the join button, and become a member today.
Merkel Media.
This was all circulating around the base that a giant had been killed, but no one was supposed to talk about it.
I saw three long, bony fingers reach up underneath the door, curl up to grab it, and then disappear.
When he came over to me, dude, he slithered over to me.
And this giant comes out of the cave, and they're all frozen. And he starts running and firing at this giant. But the giant moves. He's got a spear in one hand, and he's running really fast, and spears Dan holds him up like this. Somebody else, shoot him in the face, shoot him in the face. They basically decapitate him.
Got closer. When he got about 15 yards away from me, I raised that 12 gauge and I blow this head off.
I feel something pulling at my leg. And I look over and there are two small gray entities pulling at me. And they're literally, I'm getting pulled off the bed.
I reach my hand into this bush and I touch air. Couldn't breathe and I couldn't move because I know I'm seeing a monster.
Show, everybody. You are listening to the Confessionals Podcast. I am Jack Merkel, your producer, and I'm glad to be here. If you have a story or an encounter you'd like to share on the show, go ahead and shoot us an email. Our email address is contact@theconfessionalspodcast.com. That's contact@theconfessionalspodcast.com. Or go to the website, hit the contact section, and you can reach us that way as well. Either way works for us. Just get a hold of us. And if you want more shows on a weekly basis, we've got you covered. Head on over to theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the join button and become a member. There you're going to have access to every single members episode we've ever put out, past, present, and future, as well as any bonus content that we put out, and including access to the social network app where all of the members have access behind the scenes to everything that's done for the confessionals. So if that interests you, head on over to theconfessionalspodcast.com and hit that join button and become a member today. Also, if you want some of that drip, as Tony says, a little bit of that apparel, head on over to MerkMerch.com. You can find hats, hoodies, and t-shirts all there at MerkMerch.com. All right, so today we're joined by Ricky in studio to share all of his childhood experiences with cryptids, the occult, and much more. And Ricky starts with explaining to us about the occult history in his family that dates all the way back to his great-great-great-grandfather in France, where he would do scrying and he would do life-extending rituals. In fact, his great-great-great-grandfather lived until he was over 110 years old. And it doesn't stop there. Ricky also shares about the time that him and his siblings were caught in a New York City blackout where their dad had gone out to get some groceries. And Ricky saw a dogman-like figure approach them in their apartment. And not only that, Ricky also summoned a dogman in the woods. His story is wild, and I guarantee you're going to enjoy this one. So let's get to Ricky right now.
All right, we got Ricky here in studio. Ricky, how you doing, man?
Doing great, Tony.
I'm glad you're here. You and I were supposed to do a remote recording, and through logistical issues, I realized in our conversation that you're actually in the same town the studio's in. And I don't think, did you realize that?
No, not for a while.
Your face didn't seem like you realized that. And I was like, why don't you just, like, you're literally right down the road. So why don't you just come on in and we'll figure this out. So here you are. And I was looking at your email a couple weeks ago and I was really excited to talk to you. And this morning I came in and I kind of broke things down and I realized things happen in stages in your life. And it seems like there's this common thread that I didn't really understand at the beginning this morning when I first came in here. But through our conversation over the last hour, I started realizing that's something right there. So what I want to do is cover from the point of the last name, because you were sitting here and you started telling me how the family took on the last name. I don't know if you want to say your last name or not.
No. We took on the last name Nunez.
Nunez, okay.
Over the last, almost maybe 150, 200 years?
Yeah. And so I would like for you to kind of spell that out and how that, because, I mean, you know, spoiler alert, you mentioned the occult aspect of it. I was like, oh, stop right there. That's the thread I was looking for earlier. And so how did you get the last name? Because I was telling you about my last name and how, like, I literally am like a combination of two, possibly even five last names, how I got to this point in my 40 years. And so tell me this experience, or not experience, but how did your family come into the last name Nunez?
So we originally, my family, they're from France. My father's family, they're from France. And it went from a very... we have a very occult background. My great grandmother's great great grandfather used to be a man who would go out into battle and he would come back with bayonets, lances, swords that have gone through him, and he would go into what my great aunt was. She still passes on the stories. And she would pass on the oral stories of how he would go into this shack behind their house. And he would come out of that shack after, I don't know, he would like sacrifice a chicken or sacrifice some sort of livestock. He'd come back out of that shack strong, healthy. There's even a story that goes back that says that he used to have a black scrying screen in that shack. That my great great grandmother, I don't know if it was her mother or who, but they say that they would go in there. One day, he would tell them none of the children to go by. One day, she goes by there, peeks in, and the way that she described it was, as he's looking into the scrying screen, speaking to something, that something. It's almost showing you, like, let's say you're looking at a security feed and you have a camera outside or a drone outside looking down on this little girl and the shed. And she saw that he could see him through this screen.
It's like a security camera monitor.
Yeah.
Wow.
And this is way before the first TV was made.
Wow.
And this man, The way that he's described in the family is that he was basically like a French Rasputin or something.
Hmm. I don't know what that means.
Rasputin, he was an aide to the Tsar, to Tsar Nicholas II, and he was a very deeply spiritual man, but they also said that he could not be killed. He would get stabbed, he would get poisoned,
wow,
and he would survive it all. And my great predecessor was to us, and due to some failings or something that happened in a war or in a battle, he had to run, and I think he ran, if I'm not mistaken, he ran to Spain, changed his name to a commonly used northern Spanish name, Nunez, and
wow,
the rest is history.
Wow, so that's crazy. It's interesting that. I somebody that I know very, very well had their father passed now, but their father had special sheds as well. And there was occultic stuff happening in these sheds. And so just hearing you say that kind of took me back to that. But the fact that he was able to basically have mortal wounds and not die, essentially, I mean, that's people like fast forward now totally away from your story for a second. But people talk about the Antichrist and having a fatal wound and all this stuff. It's like people have a hard time. They have a hard time visualizing this at times, I think. And what you're talking about is like the power of darkness is real and it's been around for a very long time. This is not something new. It's not something that's just manifesting today. It's been manifesting for a long time. And today I think that and I was telling you this beforehand, I would think we're living in a culture right now that's waking up to the realization of how supernatural this world is, the darkness that's in it, the beings and entities. And I really hope that people are starting that look into this stuff at least a little bit, or have a spiritual understanding, that are Christians, start looking at some of the content that I've covered over the years that we're going to cover today, and start understanding that there's a spiritual aspect to what traditionally has been called cryptids or monsters. That, you know, from the outside looking in, a lot of times people say, oh, that's a monster, that's a creature, it's physical. So either it's not real and this person's lying, or it's strictly physical. We just can't figure out where they live. And it's like, no, this is spiritual. And these are spiritual entities that people are experiencing. And I think through your experiences that you're going to share today, we're gonna see that unfold. Because that's the background of your own bloodline. And then I want to start off with your childhood experience with the blackout in New York City. But before we get into that, you were telling us, I think you were telling Jack when I came in the room, about your dad and what he was looking into when you were a kid.
Oh, yeah.
That predates the first experience, I believe, right?
Yeah.
So if you could go into what he was studying and understanding.
So my father, he was part of that OG crowd of everybody that were looking into Nephilim. He watched that old 70s film, Chariot of the Gods. Mm-hmm. He, from a very young age, he went into, he grew up Catholic, but he went into very different, he went into Buddhism. He went into all sorts of different theologies, all looking for the truth. And he, at the time that that happened, the blackout, he was going very deep into the Nephilim. He was looking very deeply into the Greys, the Pleiadians, especially the Reptilians. And I don't know, maybe he opened a portal without even knowing it.
Where was his faith at the time? Do you know?
He was very Christian at that time.
Okay.
He was, he's always circled back to Christianity. But by the time we were born, we actually grew up in the Seventh-day Adventist Church because my mom.
Oh, she's Seventh-day?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not so much anymore. Nowadays, we kind of just practice, read the Bible, and every now and then go to a church and, find community.
Yeah, love Jesus.
Yeah.
It's always a good rest. Start with loving Jesus and build out from there. Because sometimes I've found over the years that even Christian church communities, loving Jesus is, they'll say we love Jesus, but like actually loving Jesus is not the number one priority. And there's all the politics and the games played and the idea of chasing after Christ, making disciples and preaching the gospel falls a little further down the list than it should be.
Yeah.
So that's really interesting. So I think that I'm so glad that I caught wind of that stuff before we started recording, because I was going to open up with this first story, but ask you, do you know of anything that predates it? Because I don't think this just happened out of nowhere for you.
Oh,
and especially this being a marker for your life. And then the things that followed, you know, and it to current times, and not just followed, but like not followed in just a timeline, but seemingly following you around, and not necessarily, I don't want to say that you have things following you, but they're, it seems like just from what you said, I've come to understand that the kingdom of darkness is very legalistic. And that great, great grandfather, whatever he was 200 years ago, whatever he did, my question, which you may not have an answer to, which you probably don't, but I just open pontifications is, what did he do? And could what he did been something that the kingdom of darkness feels like it has a legal right to the future bloodline? How many generations does that go? You know, so it's a lot of questions there.
My great-great-grandmother passed away back when I was a kid. She actually got to meet that great-great-great-grandfather.
Okay.
He died when she was a girl, and this man was old. He died, I think, if I'm not mistaken, he died at 113, 14 years old.
Wow. Well, I mean, when you got like a special magic shed, yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah. And my great-great-grandmother, she was the last one to practice any of the occult things, because my grandmother, my great-grand, my great-aunt, they would tell us about the things that she would do.
This is your great-grandmother?
Yeah.
Okay, so she was in the occult too.
She was in the occult, not crazy amount. She most likely thought it was some sort of something to do with, you know, the Catholic Church, more like Santeria kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I'm just praying to the saints or something like that.
Yeah.
Instead she thinks she's praying to saints. So and so, she's praying to Moloch or something.
Yeah.
And because of that, my grandmother to this day, she knows when people are going to die. My great uncle, he just passed away, almost 2 weeks ago. She had a dream of him dying right before he died. Huh. Had a heart attack on the floor of his apartment. Nobody knew that he was dead until 2 days later.
Wow. Sorry to hear that.
Yeah. Didn't know him. My dad did, but he was a very quiet man. And there were things that happened.
Yeah.
Very solitary.
Yeah. So this is something that wasn't just a one-off then. This was a lineage thing. And if it's your great-grandmother's, then it's the grandmother, then it's... Okay, so you're not far removed from somebody who is actively participating in occultic practices. And as we'll see through some of your stories here, that does seep into your life at a young age. And I'm really interested to see how this all unfolds. So let's start off with New York. The blackout that night. I want to hear about what happened.
So there was a blackout. I forgot the year, but we were very young. I think I was like, what, maybe 7, 8 years old. My brother was 6. My little sister was 4. And then I had my 2 7-year-old cousins with us. No surprise to anybody who knows Dominicans up in the New York. You can have like a whole family of 50 in one building.
Okay.
And anyway, the blackout happens. My father, he goes, all right, I'm going to leave you guys together. Lock the doors. I'm leaving. I'm going to go get some batteries for some lanterns and some flashlights. He heads out the door. About 5. Sorry, this story gets me every single time. About 5 to 10 minutes after he leaves, we don't hear the door open again. We're all stuck in the farce bedroom from the actual door, which is my room, right next to the bathroom, my brother and I's room. And we're all on the top bunk. We've set up a little Home Alone traps and whatnot around the house and on the door. And we hear the bathroom door open. There's no way for anybody to get to the bathroom door, unless they walk through the front door and down our hallway. And immediately, it's almost as if lights started going off. We started seeing like some sort of strange red lights come seep through the hallway. And we see, I'm not sure if it was a, the first thing we see is we see this big, hairy, like bestial creature.
Inside the apartment.
Inside the apartment. It comes, it opens the door. Our little Home Alone, little accoutrements and defense mechanisms that we'd made were nothing. It just opens the door and it looks at us. It doesn't pass that threshold after opening the door, and then it takes a step.
This was a preview of today's member episode. If you want to hear the whole thing, head on over to theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the join button, and become a member today.
Your social media feed says, eat more protein, track your sleep, boost your VO2 max, wake up and cold plunge, cleanse yourself of parasites. You're intrigued, but confused. So where can you turn? Welcome to Health versus Hype, the show where we take the loudest wellness trends on the internet and ask the questions only science can answer. What's real, what's exaggerated, and what is completely wrong? I'm Trace Dominguez. Each episode, we show the science behind viral health claims, from high-protein diets to cold plunges, detoxing to sleep tech obsession. And we talk to the people in the middle of it all. Influencers, the curious, but more importantly, doctors and researchers. Not to cancel the trend, not to hype it more, but to understand it. Listen to Health versus Hype with the American Medical Association on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Slow the scroll. Start asking better questions.
Your energy is gone, your hunger is loud, and your plans aren't feeding you. So what are you still doing here? Go big or go home at 7-Eleven with their boneless wings tossed in hot honey sauce with a spot-on sweet and spicy combo. It's available at 7-Eleven and just $5 with 7 rewards. Visit your local Columbus 7-Eleven and satisfy that craving today. Valid through 6/23/26. While supplies last, participating stores see app for full terms.
Having MG can make cooking difficult, but over the years, I found some really helpful tools and tips that I'm excited to share. Hi, I'm Alicia. I think cooking should always be fun, creative, and of course, delicious. These black bean burgers are hearty, full of flavor, and MG friendly. You're gonna love them.
Check out Alicia's black bean burger cooking video and other recipes full of tips and tricks for managing common MG symptoms while cooking only at mg-united.com.
Ready? Let's cook.
It's time to find furniture that feels like the one. Shop Haverty's Memorial Day sale and save on furniture backed by a regret-free guarantee. Plus, explore fresh styles arriving just in time for summer. Visit Haverty's online or in-store in Columbus at Polaris.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
What if you could get more from what you already do? As a Shell Fuel Rewards member, that's just a regular Saturday. You get more rewards, more savings, and more special offers. Earn rewards when shopping, dining out, and fueling up. And all of that becomes fuel savings when you're at the pump. Use the Shell app and enjoy life with more. Your nearest Shell station is less than 5 miles away.
Lots of places can accidentally expose you to identity theft. Doctor's offices, online retailers, insurance companies, the list goes on. Thankfully, LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. LifeLock keeps an eye on your personal information, credit applications, finances, and more. And if they find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, they alert you right away. All through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Even better, alerts are automatically activated the moment you become a LifeLock member. No extra work on your part. Get the alerts that could make all the difference. Don't wait. Join LifeLock now. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Life with CIDP can be tough, but the Thrive Team, a specialized squad of experts, helps people living with CIDP make more room in their lives for joy. Watch Rare, Well Done.
An all-new reality series, Rare, Well Done, offers help and hope to people across the country who live with the rare disease CIDP. Watch the latest episode now, exclusively on RareWellDone.com.